Welcome to the Draw Doctors Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors. We're here to discuss all things draft, 52 weeks of the year. That's right, we're the herpes of the footy podcast world. We never leave you. Joining me tonight is the godfather from the lane, Steve Fizz.
Yeah, how are we doing, boys? And of course, I'm off the lane, being the sober unit that I am these days. Probably the most shocking thing to occur in 2020.
Yes, no, absolutely no doubt. And also here with us to discuss who'll be playing this week, our very own newly crowned King of the Hub, replacing the footy rhino, is Cam Brown. What's breaking, Cam?
Oh, Cam Brown, not much breaking. I'll tell you what, boys, after the last few weeks, the footy frenzy, I just feel like, you know, in Anchorman after that big gang fight, boy, that escalated quickly. And Simon Goodwin is basically bricking. He goes, I killed Buckley with a trident.
Absolutely. No, it's been great fun. I'm a little bit sad it's all over tonight, to be honest. We are recording before the last game, so we've only got 8 games to review, but it's important that we get the pot out before the waiver wires open. So we'll hop straight into the games, and I've got Sydney versus GWS. Now, it's very clear, no TFG, no GWS, or at least they seem some lack of spark against the injury-ravaged Swans. Big statements have been made about the Giants' prospects for this year, but these games are very much a make or break for the season. So you either see them respond with full vigour, although we'll actually get hurt and peter along for the remainder of the season. Don't panic sell or drop players, as I expect a very spirited return against the West Coast Eagles. Haynes tagged may be the blueprint for teams against GWS, so be wary of buying him cheap, Cam. Number two, GWS have been known to be taggers and certainly have missed DeBoer. He may be back for the next game against West Coast, but suspect they will go back to some form of defensive mindset after being smashed in the guts by Luke Parker, who along with Lloyd scored a big 108. A surprise midfielder that hurt him a fair bit as well was Nick Blakey, who really had a nice score at half time, but slowed down to a 90 for the whole game. Yes, very impressive. I no doubt there was a few people picking him up off the waiver wire or try to pick him up off the waiver wire, but ensure you limit your expectations to probably a 60 if he continues that role. He was out of gas by the end of the third quarter, and if you saw him in the last quarter, he hardly touched it. He was just absolutely tanked. So if he continues that role, I think he'll share it with resting a bit forward, so he's got a bit more to go to keep the impact as much and as long as he can. So I think a 90 is a one-off. It's a bit like Rory Laird's 130. That's not going to continue, nor will his 90 scores. If you bring him in and expect the 60s, which is actually quite fieldable in the forward line in Corona Ball, it should be worthwhile. And last but not least, although the role is there, Thurlow scores a fool's gold. 2 scores in the 80s, but remember, they were up against Collingwood, noting Laird's 130 last week against Collingwood as well, and GWS, who just simply did not turn up to the game. Yes, he uses the ball well. He is a decent mark, but suspect 50s and 60s moving forward, a perfect sell-high candidate. We'll move straight on to our next game, which is Geelong and Port Adelaide. Steve?
Yeah, so obviously the story of this game was the Tomahawk show just left one out to absolutely ragdoll Tom Cleary. But there was a few very interesting things for me. And just if you think Tomahawk's slowing down anytime soon, they've got Adelaide next week. So holy hell, if you're a Tom Hawkins owner, the good times continue. But for me, the interesting thing that Geelong have been doing is they've just got such a deep list. They can play Dangerfield in the forward line for weeks. He was just full midfield this game, and he was awesome. He was awesome. You know, I know it was really interesting. Like his kicking, like the long kicks, like 60 metres to the right side of a one-on-one in the goal square, like his long kicking was really just on display. Like I know the overall percentage isn't there, but the kicks he was taking on were and making were really impressive. So certainly one to watch there. And also on the other side, the power, the split ruck thing. If you're a Scott Lysette owner, I'd be really cagey playing him after this week if they continue with Laddams in the same side. I know the scores weren't too bad in this one, but they were up against the Cats, who are, you know, one of the easy marks in the ruck matchup department. So I'd be really cagey about going forward with Lysette. Obviously, if you've got Laddams, it looks like he's showing a pretty nice floor, and you can play him as your F4 or something like that. So pretty handy there. And Joel Selwood, pretty much just unrosterable at this point. He'll probably have a good game or two at some point when they just throw him in the midfield to just let him run muck, but he just looks washed.
Now, I obviously noticed the role changes and the managing of players. So throwing it to you, Cam, being a Cats man yourself, obviously going up against Adelaide, do you suspect that they might manage a few of the senior ones? Obviously, you got one injury being Simpson out. Jack Stephen was rested, so assuming he comes back in, are you seeing one of the younger ones coming out, or are you seeing a Joel Selwood rested, a Mitch Duncan rested against a lower team?
I don't think they're going to rest Duncan anytime soon, just because he did have that break already recently. I think we'll probably see someone like a Quinton Narkle come back from injury and float into the side, and then maybe Lachlan Fogarty play a little bit more in the guts to give some people a break. And I'm pretty certain Luke Dalhouse is back this week. He played a scratch match on the weekend. So there's probably at least one or two new faces that could come in and give the other guys a break. So definitely be cautious.
So we expect Dangerfield really to be forward this week. So like he did the week before, start forward. If they need to call him in the midfield, they will.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. So we'll move on to you, Cam, for North against Brisbane.
Yeah, so with Jono out of the lineup this week, someone had to jump on the grenade that is the North game. And, well, at least they played an awesome side that obliterated them off the park. Wait, what's that? The Lions only won by 1 point over North? And Sean Attlee scored 137 in Supercoach and 84 in AFL Fantasy? Stop the planet. I'm ready to hop off. The main thing, a couple of main things from this one, big Oscar Mack is still looking really good as a solo ruckman, dropped 78 AFL Fantasy and 99 Supercoach, and he looks like he's going to do for owners like what Rowan Marshall did last year, just sort of came off the waivers and ended up pumping out really fieldable scores. So sit him in your forward line until Big Steph comes back. And I mean, the big question then is Big Steph going to come back? Because he was actually really quite good against Goldie, who's been having a career year. He almost won the hitouts. It was like within one. Very, very close. Jed Anderson, or Goteson, as he was at one stage, has such an impressive scoring potential. He's averaging 94.8 AFL Fantasy over the last five rounds and a whopping 110 in Supercoach. I think the key thing to note here is that his time on ground basically is the same as it was before Corona Ball. Looking at your mid-70s, his scores were never this good, and it's likely a result of Cunnington being the main ball and being out. Do you guys reckon this is maybe a breakout at 26, or do you think he could be a bit of a fool's gold next year when Cunners is back in the side?
Yeah, I mean, like, Cunnington is just one of the elite contested players in the game. So as soon as you take someone like that out, the opportunity's there. But, I mean, he's shown this ability in the past. It's nothing new.
Well, I think the ceiling is new. Like, I don't think he's scored this well, this consistently.
No, the ceiling is new because he never played without Cunnington for such an extended period of time. Yeah. Like, you can't... you know, I mean, what was Cunnington getting, like 16, 17 contested possessions a game? Like, the guy's, he's so underrated, Cunnington. Like, he's so good at what he does. So that opportunity's opened up.
So you think it's probably not going to continue next year?
Oh, I find it hard to believe.
Yeah. And finally, the Lions' game plan seems to shift every week depending on who they're playing. You know, good for the team, bad for fantasy coaches. Some weeks they opt to move out to the wings a little bit more, and then you see the higher scores from your people like Mitch Robinson, Zach Bailey, and Hugh McLuggage. But then there are also weeks like this week where they suffer a little bit and they go straight through the guts, with the same three people posting scores in the 40s and 50s this week. Looking back at the last few games to try and find a pattern, I came up with absolutely nothing, because they're scoring well against free-flowing sides like Richmond and contested sides like the Dogs, but also scoring poorly against other teams of the same type. So it for me, I'm finding it a little bit hard to find that pattern of which teams are targeting through the mid, but which teams are moving out to the wings. Just a bit of a caution, I guess, it could be a bit of a roller coaster for the rest of the year.
Absolutely. Quickly moving on to the Western Bulldogs and Adelaide. 100 minutes and 145 points are the reason you captain mids against Adelaide. Bont was massive. Don't get too excited. He's probably always and will continue to be the main target for attention, especially with teams that are vying for finals. If they're going to get the 4 points off the Western Bulldogs, they need to ensure that they manage him. Now, Adelaide did try for a limited point of time, but I never saw a hard tag on him, to be quite honest with you. I saw a tag at a stoppage or someone standing beside him at a stoppage. It wasn't a hard tag, but I think that is coming. But owners, I hope you enjoyed that. I think that's you, Steve, isn't it? 145 in your team this week in the keeper.
One of the newer additions. You know me, the mad trader. Constantly bringing in players. With my other new addition, Lockie Hunter.
Yes, very good. Cam's exclusive was the highlight of the weekend until Bailey Smith rewarded owners with 125. And for those that don't know, Cam did post out an exclusive because there were a lot of rumours saying Bailey Smith wasn't going to play, and he announced it. And could you explain to people how you found that hot gossip?
Bailey Smith told me.
Fair enough. And that's the best way to get the information. Again, too many mids for the Bulldogs. Ducks, the ruck, very nice score with 69. McRae with 76. We're just two to miss out on the junk this week. Unfortunately, it's going to be a rotation depending on who they're giving the game time, the mid time, the rest time to. It's just going to vary. So be mindful when you're got, they're much better VC option than they are a C option, this club right now with its mids.
Do you think Jordan Sweet is going to get a game, or is it going to be Dunkley Ruck?
Yes, it's a very good question, but Jordan Sweet will come in if Tim English doesn't get up. But it's an interesting move. I think Dunks basically had 50% of the Ruck contest. And I know a lot of people got excited. We got a last minute question when we get to the listener question asking whether Dunks is going to get a mid ruck role. Just one game's not going to make that happen. But if it continues for the next six home and away rounds, you might see it next year. And last but not least, we already covered here, is Tim English went down with the ankle. Stream Sweet this week in case he does not recover in time. So if you've got a non-playing sort of borderline player, bring in Sweet nice and early in the week if you own Tim English, just so you've got someone to stream. So we'll move on to Melbourne v Collingwood, Cam.
Yeah, my goodness, Steve. The Pies are basically the worst performing side in the hub and are in danger of missing the eight. Is it time to bring back hashtag Bucks out?
Oh, I've already brought it out. It came out the other week. Oh, it's back. No, when he played tennis, that was it. Yeah, he had... but the fish rots right at the head, Cam. It all starts with the fat racist pig they got at the head of things.
Yikes.
What?
So No, no. I mean, that was a yikes as in how accurate is this man? To yeah, little known use for yikes. There's about 40 listener questions about Angus Brayshaw and whether or not he's back. And based on what we've seen, the best I can say is maybe. I think he gives the Demons something else in that midfield, and they have looked a lot better with him there. He really complements the likes of Oliver and Petraka being that first receiver from the centre and at stoppages, whereas Viney's basically just another Oliver or Petraka. On team performance, I'd say he's absolutely back, but it could change at the drop of a hat, especially when they're up against the Dogs, the big contested beast that they are. Jamie Elliott, I think, is actually looking the goods over the last couple of weeks, and especially since Treloar has been out, playing that sort of hybrid forward mid role, which he has been most of the season, but has seen increased midfield minutes since that hammy to Treloar happened. It may not continue, but listed as a forward, he's a decent week-by-week proposition you can hold on your bench and play as a good F5 if required. And I think I've noticed a trend, lads. It may not have been picked up before.
Defenders?
Versus yeah. Collingwood. and it could be, look, Luke McDonald rolls in next week and he could go absolutely bananas.
Don't say that, mate.
Just 2020.
Oh, what an idiot I am. Anyway, we might move straight on to that so I don't get too sad and start crying. St Kilda versus Essendon, Steve.
Yeah. The good thing about Devon Smith missing this match was I didn't have to play Devon Smith. That's that's about as far as I'll go with that. I was excited when Paddy Ryder got named because I was up against the Pride of Portland in my home league. And I thought, split ruck, he won't score very well. He did because Essendon are putrid. So look, it's hard to feel confident about the Marshall and Ryder ownage. I know Ryder's got the forward status and seems to score well enough to warrant a spot on your field. So it's just going to be one to monitor week to week, whether they're going to get the hit outs or whatever. Zach Jones stepped up without Gresham. Good to see a good score there. Hope that continues for Zach Jones owners. And I thought St Kilda at the start of the year were one of the hardest teams to predict. Obviously, things get easier when players start going down with injuries. Gresham was obviously soaking up massive CBAs and probably wasn't scoring super well. So Zach Jones sort of has a nice baseline if he's going to do some tackling along the way. Caulfield continues to be interesting for keeper owners. Hunter Clark continues to be very good for Supercoach, especially. On the Essendon side of the ball, the usual performers played pretty well and the usual hacks didn't. BZT30's ripping form didn't continue. It's just, I hate both these teams from an ownership standpoint. I've got to be honest, they're not my favourites. And Ridley spent a fair bit of time off the ground as well.
Yes, I might move straight on to the Eagles and Hawthorn because we'll leave the tight one right to the end. Sadly, James Sicily has done his ACL, be out for the remainder of this season and most likely all of 2021, seeing the injuries actually happening in August and late August too. This will cause some restructure in the Hawks defence, so just have to monitor that closely to find out what the result's going to be. My first impression that Will Day will get a real boost here. For Sick Dog, it's a hold in dynasty leagues, but in keepers with anything less than 18 keepers retained, it's sadly you drop him to the waiver wire because you're missing him for the remainder of this and all next year. And being that type of player where there is a lot of jumping, landing, etc., you never quite know how they come back. There are rare people that can come back from an ACL pretty similar, and Doc's done two in a trot and done pretty well coming back. It doesn't look like it's really affected him, but there are plenty of examples of people coming back from an ACL and it's the second year back, so it might be 3 years before we see him actually look like his best, so 2023. Last week I talked about Redden's lack of mid time and with the host of mids that they have. He only managed 36 before being injured in the third quarter. But Tim Kelly was also down with a 49, Dom Sheed with a 59, and Luke Shuey with a 76. And this was in a pretty decent win. It was only really Gaff, who mixed up an inside and outside role this week, that got enough of the ball for a decent score. I see this as part of this life, which is resting in games. We've seen it with Danger up forward and getting little bursts in the midfield. And certainly it's happened to Jack Steele. It happened to Matthew Kennedy this week, who's been inside mid for Colton for the past 6 weeks and just becomes a permanent forward. Tim Kelly this week, as we saw, got rested throughout the games in different positions. We don't know, and please understand this is really hard to predict, we don't know who and when this is going to happen. So this is part of being patient with Corona Ball. And you're just going to have to manage your way through it. Don't get too hot and cold. If they're a proven scorer, they're a proven scorer. And if they're resting now in round 14 and 15, it might mean that they're getting ready for when you're playing finals. So be a little bit happy if they're getting rested now, rather than you don't want them being stuck in a forward pocket when you're hitting the grand final. And last but not least, Barras loves McGovern. In the 6 games this year when they have played together, Barras has scored an average of 60.1, which is a solid D4 score. So we're talking BCV around that 76 to 77. In the 5 games where Barras has played without McGovern, he has averaged 31.8.
Wow.
It's a massive difference. So Barras, because of that overall average, is actually sitting in the 40s. But if they're both playing together, he is a good one to stream. So make sure you do your research on some of those. Those typical in-team matchups are really important. So Barras is quite playable on field when McGovern is playing. Now, our last game, which was an absolute ripper, or should I say it had a ripping finish, Cam's got Frio and Carlton.
Yeah, we'll know by the time this pod comes out anyway, but Nat Fyfe was an outside chance of getting DPP after this round if he played over 63% forward. And I'm pleased to say that he played 72% time forward. So he is a very, very good chance of getting it. And I guess we'll know once this drops if he did or did not get it. It was probably a good sign of things to come, though, with Fyfe and Walters spending just heaps of time forward affording Chera, Brayshaw and Sarong long minutes in the engine room. And they all once again performed really well considering the conditions. Maybe not so much so from a fantasy footy perspective, but they were definitely competitive around the ball. We'll see it flip a few times, and like Stato was saying just before about you've just got to give and take a couple of weeks and acknowledge that people will score poorly some weeks when they're rested. But you will definitely see weeks where Fyfe and Walters are playing predominantly in the mid in some of their upcoming matches to balance the team out a little bit and give some people a rest. But great signs, especially if you're stuck fat with Adam Chera, who's really picked up his game in the last couple of weeks in a more scoring-friendly role. That guy, I'll tell you what, the guy on Twitter who whinged about baby crying in the background is going to have an absolute ripper this week with Ollie just giving some cheers in the background there. And just something separate, guys. I think a lot of this year, I've found anyway, has been about managing the floor of players in matchups, especially for your middle tier players. So rather than looking for those big scores, it seems that the middle tier players are more susceptible to weeks in the 30s and 40s this year. One thing to note with Fremantle is that the floor on the core groups of opposition midfield seems to be pretty high. They have the Swans on deck, so it could be a good week for the likes of your Florence and your Rowbottoms to pump out a pretty serviceable score, and so maybe be a little bit less hesitant to play them this week.
Brilliant. All right, well, let's move on to the waivers. So we'll go to you first, Steve. Who are you looking at on the waiver list this week?
Yeah, so there's a few likely candidates for me. I'm going to start with G. Rowan from Geelong playing Adelaide this week. 22% owned. His last 2 weeks, 90 and 88 Dream Team, 136 and 112 Supercoach. Pretty handy scores. I actually think Scrimshaw is not a bad... I know all the focus will be on Will Day. I think Scrimshaw is actually not a bad pickup. His last 2 weeks been pretty good scores. That's with Sicily in the team. So there's certainly a fair bit of ball to go around. 28% owned. Could do worse. Sean Attlee playing Collingwood. I've heard.
A rumour.
I actually dropped Sean Attlee to play Hibbard this week. So, because Hibbard had Collingwood, yeah. And he scored okay, but yeah, obviously missed out on Attlee's score. 47% owned, obviously had a big game on the weekend. Will Day, like you mentioned, 55% owned. Georgiades, is that his name, from Port Adelaide?
Yep.
Playing Hawthorn. I mean, what are they going to do? It's going to be a shuffle there, so he might... I mean, Charlie Dixon should bounce back, you'd imagine, but
yep.
I'd certainly look for another target in the Port forward line. Maybe you can do better than the big G. And if you're playing Supercoach, Josh Rotham hasn't been too bad lately.
Actually, even in AFL Fantasy, he's been scoring 60s, I think, in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, a lot of junk time in the West Coast defence. There's no doubts about that. Duggan's been a star over the past 6 weeks. Cam, any further to Steve's very long list?
It's six. It's not long.
It's a good list. Yeah. It wasn't a criticism, it was a compliment.
I've heard six is a good average size. I just in regards to the Scrimshaw and Day debate, don't sleep on Connor Glass as well. He could actually be the guy who gets the running defender slot. But he's only 2% owned, and it would be really speculative. Scored in the 70s this week, so maybe one to keep an eye on if you miss out on Scrimshaw and Day. Nick Blakey, 32% owned. As Stater was saying, take it with a grain of salt, his big score this week. But he's been told that his role is in the midfield, and that's where they see him playing, and he played it pretty well. So
he did.
Could be in for that sort of 60s to 70s score. And then the last one is the Hulky Paholky. The Hulky
Such a jag.
You don't reckon?
Maybe.
See,
maybe.
I think 13% and played in the midfield. I think that's probably enough from a forward.
Scored a 60, didn't he?
Yeah, scored a 60. I think it could be okay.
Is Crouch coming back this week enough. Or next?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to matter because there are a lot of other players that played worse than Paholky, which says something about the midfield at the Crows.
There's a lot of problems.
Currently is. Well, it is in the state of the DOS, so that probably explains a fair bit. So we'll move on to the questions this week. Nina asks, who is the best fantasy coach and why? Well, there's three categories to cover in AFL Fantasy. Of course, it's Selby. That's pretty obvious. Good research, feel for the game. He takes the time, the right time to pounce on players. He is the GOAT for a reason. If anyone wants to know what I think the difference is between me and him, he finds the reason to, I find the reason not to. So use an example. Witherden this week was a good get and would have provided me with a second good trade. The game was going to rain, which would have been reduced marks, that is game mark kick. So I found the reason why not to select him, if that makes sense. A lot of research in the ability to change. I need to remove that blocker to improve as a coach. Strategy is pretty good. The trigger, unlike Selby, is not quite there. And Selby has both, so that's why he's the GOAT. Hard to say in drafts because they're all small competitions, so you never get to see anyone. We only get to see our 10, 11, 12, depending on how many in your league. I don't know, Steve, if Supercoach actually has a standout or someone that's celebrated like Selby is.
Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge. Yeah, and I'm not really a classic follower like you guys, I'm going to be honest.
Yep, fair enough. Dynamite Doss, a.k.a. Kyle. Oh, Kyle. Yeah, that's the way they say it. Us, hold sarong or look to upgrade AFL Fantasy. We are Draft Carl. But the short answer is it's time to upgrade him. Stephen Brown, a two-parter question, Steve. I'll give this one to you. My dehumidifier is collecting litres of water each day. And the two-part question to that is, A, where is the moisture coming from? And B, why does trading Taylor Adams to Elliot Yeo in round three hurt so bad?
It's coronavirus. That's right. That's the answer. It's the both. Answer.
Dehumidifier is collecting the moisture in the air, or it might actually come from the sweat of you making such a bad decision of getting Taylor Adams to Elliot Yeo. That might be the reason for it. Vincent, adult man, is Nick Blakely a one-week wonder or is he legit? Cam, your thoughts?
For that sort of score, probably a one-week wonder. But for something more reasonable, like a 60, probably can maintain.
Had to go in Supercoach, Steve?
Yeah, he turned up.
And your thoughts? Repeatable?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah, I think that's his peak. He's just shown us what his ceiling is, I think.
Two goals, 500 metres gain.
I think, as when I reviewed the game, I think 60s are probably more realistic, which is still a fieldable score in draft leagues, depending how big, small, and how deep they are. And last one here, a last-minute question from Mitchell Stewart. Any potential position changes that people could target with keeper leagues, like a Dunkley ruck? He did add, ha-ha. Five forward, etc. So anything you see, if you can maintain in your keeper with the thoughts that next year when it rolls on, Cam, that they may have new positions and they don't have the DPP now.
Yeah, I think Josh Battle is maybe an interesting one. So he's just defence at the moment. He's a very good chance to pick up forward status. And, you know, or potentially ruck. He's been doing a bit of a chop out when Ryder has been out of the team. And that's probably the main one that I'm looking at from a keeper perspective.
Got to be. Might have Marshall. Does he get forward back?
Yeah, he would. Probably will.
And I think Chi from Gold Coast, who's spending a fair bit of time up forward now, so currently just a midfield only, he'll actually become fieldable as a forward.
Brisbane.
And I think, yeah.
Brisbane, yes.
I think let's just wait. I mean, by the time this drops, the DPPs will be out anyway, and that's some, you know, the last set of DPPs can often be a pretty good indication.
Yeah, and there is a lot of resting this year, so that'll be the interesting one. So if Danger keeps this up for the next 4 or 5 weeks, you might roll into next year with Danger being a mid-forward.
Mm.
So just keep monitoring what's happening and the resting of players. Draft doesn't impact, but for salary cap, there's going to be a weird and wonderful world next year because clubs are going through so much depth. There is going to be sweet FA rookies available because everyone's had a taste, so the price is going to be inflated. What it does for us draft players, it actually gives us a really good indication of who underneath is actually good enough to step up.
Mm.
So it's a great wonder for draft. It's problematic for salary cap. Well, that wraps up another podcast for DOS's ex-friends, aka the Draft Doctors. Enjoy the next few days off. Check out the waivers and look forward to another footy frenzy that gets underway very, very soon. And we'll catch you all next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.